Like so many of us, the Federal Reserve may need to do better communicating its feelings. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. You ever draw the short straw and have to take the minutes at a meeting? Who reads those anyway? Well, when it comes to Federal Reserve meetings about the U.S. economy and interest rates, those notes are scrutinized in forensic detail. The minutes of the Fed's late January meeting came out yesterday. On Thursdays, we get the views of Diane Swonk, the chief economist at the accounting and consulting firm Grant Thornton. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
What did you learn about the U.S. economy looking at these minutes?
Well, first of all, the Fed's gotten very concerned in what they're thinking about the U.S. economy. Their downside risks outnumbered upside risks, but they also were flying blind because they didn't have a lot of data in terms of how the economy had performed in the fourth quarter.
Because of the government shutdown, right?
Exactly, because of the government shutdown, and they mentioned that several times, and they expected that data to be really good. And as we know from last week, it really wasn't.
Also in the Fed minutes, there was a bit of an admission. They gave themselves, I don't know, what we call it, a C-plus for communication?
They ate some humble pie, yeah. They said, listen, we didn't do the communication too well in December there, and it seemed to really upset people a lot in financial markets. And in fact, they went back and reported and asked people, what was the problem? And they said, you're the problem. You need to be more clear about what you're talking about when you talk about the economy, the quality, the strength of the economy. They felt the Fed pretty much failed, and they decided that they're on a quick learning curve, and they corrected it quite rapidly at the January meeting. And everything you've heard from then as well. You've not only got pivots, I sort of say the Fed is pirouetting right now, almost like a ballet in terms of their turns and twists to try to be more clear about what they see as the downside risks without saying they think the world's coming to an end.
All right. Well, that is a challenge. Economist Diane Swonk is at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The auto industry in Britain has become the focus of worry about the UK still without a plan, with the deadline to leave the European Union fast approaching. Nissan has pulled back, and Honda this week said it's shutting down its UK factory in Swindon, about an hour and a half from London. Honda says it is not about Brexit, but from London Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The decision to close the Honda plant is a major blow to the British car industry. 3,500 jobs at the factory will be lost, possibly thousands more among component suppliers. Alan Tomler of the Unite Labour Union has no doubt what's largely to blame.
One can't overlook the impact of Brexit, the uncertainty. We're talking, what, five or so weeks away from the deadline date and still no deal, no sign of a deal?
But in an interview with the BBC, Honda executive Ian Howells denied the planned closure has anything to do with Britain's departure from the EU.
This is not a Brexit-related issue for us. This decision's been made on the basis of the changes which are coming at us globally that we have to now respond to.
He said the company is gearing up its electric car manufacturing and needs to concentrate production back in Japan, closer to its biggest markets, which do not include the EU.
The relative size of the marketplace we have in Europe, about 150,000 units, compared with China, the US, we're looking at 2 million or so. It's significantly different.
But many observers claim that Brexit is now taking a toll. Ford is having doubts about some of its British plants, and last month Nissan announced it would move a new model away from its huge factory in the north of England. The local lawmaker is Julie Elliott.
The uncertainty around Brexit is always a factor now in any decisions made in manufacturing.
Compared with its EU counterparts, Britain is still doing reasonably well. With unemployment at 4%, it's doing much better than most. But look a little more closely, says Neil Shearing of Capital Economics, and you'll see signs of a malign Brexit effect.
Business investment is weak. Firms are starting to stop spending and wait until they get some clarity about what the post-Brexit landscape starts to look like.
All eyes are now on the run-up to March the 29th, the official day of departure. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let me alert you that we're about to do a business story about advertising, new media, and child exploitation. Nestle, McDonald's, Disney, and other companies have put their spending on YouTube on hold for now because of disturbing comments about children that appear near the ads. This comes after big advertisers had shifted back to YouTube after the streaming video platform had made changes to prevent ads from showing up near offensive video content. But today's story is about the comments that some viewers post. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra is here Help us understand this.
Yeah, it turns out it's really easy to find content from pedophiles on YouTube. And what we're talking about here is not videos they create, but disturbing comments they leave under otherwise normal videos of children. And there are sometimes ads on these videos. A lot of companies started to respond to this on Sunday after a YouTube user named Matt Watson made a video about the issue.
I'm making this video with only one intention, and that is to bring awareness to this, even though there is awareness already around the internet, but there's not enough.
And as I mentioned in the lead, Marielle, this isn't the first time that advertisers have pulled back from YouTube.
Yeah, a couple years ago, hundreds of big companies stopped advertising on the platform because they didn't want their ads running next to videos of hate speech or ones that touted terrorism. The company said it had made changes to police its platform better. Some of the advertisers even came back. We reported that last month. And now this.
All right, what's the response to this latest controversy?
Watson's video has almost 2 million views, and now a lot of big companies have paused their YouTube ad buying. Beyond just Nestle, McDonald's, Disney, it's also GNC, Canada Goose, Epic Games, which makes the online video game Fortnite. YouTube says it's deleted comments on tens of millions of videos that violate its policies, and also deleted 400 accounts. But unfortunately, as of a few minutes ago, all it takes is a few clicks to find more of these comments.
Marketplace's Marielle Segarra with me here in New York. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Slabaugh from Columbus, Indiana. Make Me Smart and Marketplace are two of my favorite shows, both pushing me to think outside of my normal boundaries and making issues important to me that I wouldn't have considered before. I became a Marketplace investor because I feel it's important to vote with your dollar for media that makes a difference in the world. To join me as a Marketplace investor, donate today in whatever amount works for you at marketplace.org.
As you squish through the slush in many parts of the country this morning, I'd like to point out that deliverance may be at hand with baseball spring training opening today. The sport is coming off a rough year with declining TV ratings and attendance at a 15-year low, but regular people are actually playing more baseball. Here's Marketplace's Ben Bradford.
Major League Baseball is like the down-on-his-luck protagonist in a generic sports movie. It's slow, showing its age. It's lost its status as America's favorite sport, surpassed by football and basketball. But it's not quite done yet.
Baseball is making a comeback.
Sports and Fitness Industry Association President Tom Cove is not talking about the pros, but the grassroots level.
We're seeing double-digit growth in the casual participation, meaning kids that are coming to the game, getting exposed.
If I was Major League Baseball, I'd be extremely excited.
George Washington University sports management professor Lisa Delpy-Nerati says if you play a sport, you're more likely to become a longtime fan.
Once people understand intricacies of the game, they appreciate the game more than just, you know, sitting there watching people run around bases.
To mix movie metaphors, these youth baseball players are the young ragtag group that might just band together to surprise everyone and win a championship. Or, in this case, watch some MLB. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.